Almost every week, an unsuspecting property owner in Southwest Florida learns that someone has sold their land out from under them through fraudulent means. What can they do about it? Let's just say it's far better to put your energy into preventing such fraud in the first place. The first step is education, and Julie's on a mission to wave the warning flag to realtors and property owners throughout the state. You won't want to miss this one, and you can hear Julie's advice on the topic starting right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville. I'm coming to you, as usual, from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. I'm here today, as usual, in the studio with our producer, Jerry Johnson. Hi, Jerry Johnson.
Hi, Jim. Good afternoon.
Tell me something good, Jerry.
Sun is in the sky. Real estate's booming.
I'll take it. That's a good day as far as we're concerned.
Especially where we are. Yeah.
Yes, at the Realtor Association here in Fort Myers. This is the show, if you haven't heard us before, where we talk about all things real estate. We talk about it mainly from the perspective of the realtor, but also talk about topics that will be of interest to home sellers, home buyers, and home dwellers. So if you live in a house or buy or sell them, this show is for you. We appreciate your finding us on your podcast machine. And let's get right into it, because we have a really good guest in the studio today, someone I've been looking forward to having for quite some time. She is an expert in several areas of real estate, but the topic we're going to talk about today is real estate scams and fraud. Her name is Julie Lepore. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
We are doing well. I think I can speak for you, Jerry.
You can, but I can also say, we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, all is good all around the table.
All around.
Good. We got that out of the way. Now, we're very happy to have you here because, as you well know, Julie, there's a lot of bad stuff going on out there, and it seems to be on the increase, but maybe that's just my perception. I don't know. Let's jump right into it. What is going on out there with fraud and scams? And it's not unique to real estate. I want to preface things by saying that.
Yeah.
Any business gets this stuff, right?
Yeah. It's been an eye-opener just from a human perspective that there are so many people in this world that are wanting to do bad. You know, in some countries, it's an employable position to be a full-time scam artist. So our real estate market is definitely getting its fair share. And that, you know, real estate scam has been around forever. We see it a lot with wire fraud, and now we're seeing it with these imposters. I don't know what else to call them, but basically it's just these people from other countries that go out and find land that's owned by other foreign people. You know, they go online and they look for properties with owners that have out of country mailing addresses. And so now they've got their name. Now they know that they're, you know, what country they're from. They know what the property is. And so what they do is they take that information and they go and build an identity for themselves.
Hmm.
And then they reach out to real estate agents and get them to list property that doesn't belong to them. And then it goes through the process and it gets sold. And, you know, months down the road, years down the road, the real seller comes through, he's ready to sell his property, and it's been sold out from underneath them.
That's not a good situation. What's the recourse?
It's shocking. I get mixed takes on what the recourse is. Obviously, that buyer bought a property that wasn't his to buy. You know, didn't go through the proper channels. And so I've interviewed a handful of title companies because they're the ones that are insuring these properties. And some say that, you know, that the buyer has to make a claim in order to be made whole. So one of the things, too, is that the properties that these imposters are going after is vacant land, right? Because if it's a house, you'd have to have access to the home. You'd have to be able to do tours. You'd have to be able to do all these things. But vacant land, you don't have to do that. You
no
put up a sign. No inspection. That's it. And so they're selling these properties. Buyers are buying the land. They're building houses on them. and they're halfway through building, you know, these homes, or they're all the way through building these, like, you know, very expensive homes, and then they have to give it back.
Ooh.
It's crazy.
They really do.
And it's just such a sad state of events for everybody. You know, the closing agent that did the closing, you know, they've got to pay back their commissions. The real estate agents are sometimes asked to pay back their commissions. And I don't even know what the proper approach is. I can only just tell you what I'm seeing and the way that it's being handled. And it's being handled in different ways on different cases. So I don't really know what the parameters are there. I tried to interview some title companies just to get a better feel for, you know, okay, I see the issue. I've seen what becomes of the issue, but now how is it handled? I'm not quite finished with my research there.
Do you have a sense that this sort of criminal activity is more prevalent in Southwest Florida versus other parts of the U.S.?
I do. And you know, our company, we operate nationwide. We work with 800 or more title companies across the nation.
And you're with FERPTA Solutions,
right?
I should say, if FERPTA I didn't.
Solutions, yeah. That's okay. And it definitely feels like it's prevalent in Florida, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely in the Southwest Florida. And I think a lot of that is a combination of a few reasons. Number one, we just have a lot of vacant land.
Right. If you look at Cape Coral on Google Earth,
mm-hmm.
it seems like every fourth property is a vacant lot, right?
Yeah, we just have a ton of land for sale.
Yeah.
Available land.
Right.
And we've also, over the last 20, 30, 40 years, have been a mecca of, you know, for international investors.
Right.
So we have a combination of foreign investors and vacant land, and that's exactly a honeypot of what they're looking for.
Yeah, I happen to live next door to a vacant lot that is owned by a gentleman who lives in Austria.
Mm-hmm.
So there, he might be a target for this sort of activity.
Nobody is safe.
Yeah.
And it's not even just vacant land or just vacant land owned by foreign owners. I mean, they're going after pretty much anything that they can get. It just seems to be focused on that area. And I think the reason, I mean, this is just speculation, of course, but I think the reason why they are going after the foreign investors is because they're not counting on anybody to be able to recognize what an Austrian passport looks like. You know, so when they go through the process of selling properties, they have to vet themselves. They have to provide some sort of identification. And so they're not counting on us to be able to recognize counterfeit documents. You know, if I gave you a copy of my U.S. passport, all you'd have to do is look at your own U.S. passport,
right,
compare and see, you know, if anything stands out. But if you got a passport from someone in Germany or someone in Canada or someone in Kazakhstan or somebody in Israel,
sure,
you wouldn't know what you're looking for. And so they're counting on us to not be educated in that area. And if you're not programmed, if your brain's not programmed to think about it and to look for it, it's so easy to overlook it. It's just so easy to overlook it, and they're counting on that.
So the onus is on the realtor to verify that this is a legitimate buyer?
You know, it's interesting. It's hard for me to say where the onus is, right? Because, or you know, it's hard for me to say who has the responsibility, because the way that we've been doing it for so long creates this facade of how it's supposed to be. And as a real estate agent, at least the real estate agents that I've been working with, some of them have never asked for ID.
Really?
They just expect that by the time it goes to closing and the title company does what they're going to do,
right,
and they start doing that search of the title, that it's just part of their normal process to, you know, request identification. And a lot of the title companies do. I'm still very surprised that I have encountered a few companies that haven't. I don't even know how that's even
possible.
That's
not part of their normal due diligence?
I would think that it is.
Yeah.
And there's only been one or two in my experience over the last, you know, 10 or 12 years where it's been obvious that they did not request any form of ID. So I don't know if they were going to later or if they just hadn't got there yet or whatever the case was. But I think that the realtors are expecting the title companies to do it. And, you know, the title companies are doing the best that they can. They have so much that they
sure,
have to do.
Sure, especially now.
Right? Yeah, especially now. And so it's interesting. I had a realtor reached out to me the other day, and she said, you know, hey, I just watched your seminar on these scam sellers. Can you just take a look at this passport? Because we think it's legit. And so they sent over the passport, and I actually kind of like laughed out loud a little bit when I saw it. And I don't mean that in a rude way, but to me it was so obvious that it was fake, and to them it felt so real.
Was it like the Marx Brothers or from something, Albania?
You know, it was just a guy, I think, from Germany, and, you know, I'm going to murder this word, but, you know, in German, over the U, they have the little...
Umlaut.
Umlaut. Okay, thank you. Well, when you are filling out U.S. tax forms, that doesn't recognize the umlaut, so U is U-E. Mm-hmm. So when the real German owner of that property purchases that, and they're on title and they're on deed... Their last name is U-E, right?
Hmm.
On all the printed material. So then the scam artist comes along. They look at the deed. They see the U-E. And so when they make the passport, with the Americanized spelling instead of the umlaut. So it's just like things like that if you're not trained to think about or look at, you're just never going to catch it.
Hmm. But there are multiple points of filtration, if you will, where these scams can be stopped. Where are they most frequently stopped? Who catches these things?
Honestly, I don't think they're getting stopped. I think that there has been an alarming amount of sales that have gone through where we are going to find out that the seller was indeed fake.
How often does this happen in our area?
My office had four yesterday.
Four yesterday? Since the beginning of the year, how many would you guess? Dozens? Hundreds? What?
50, 60.
50 or
probably
60?
Probably in like the last 5 or 6 months.
So in most of those cases, people lost?
That our company personally touched and was involved in.
50 that you were involved in?
Yes.
So many more out there.
And we're just one office in one little city in one state.
I know the police department in Cape Coral sent us a press release about this, how they've identified some,
mm-hmm.
and you know, sent out the warning. And we do that at the Realtor Association. We alert our realtor members in multiple ways to look out for these scams, and we've described them as you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope people pay attention to that. So it's the realtor is the first person to notice.
I did my first live seminar through the board.
Mm-hmm.
I actually reached out to you guys and I said, hey, like, we've got a problem. Like, what can we do here? How can we warn our community? How can we let our agents know? I think that first webinar generated about 30 or 40 real estate agents, which sounds like a good number, except for there's how many members of our board?
Right, thousands.
Thousands, you know? So it's hard to know what's the best way to get to the most amount of people the fastest. Mm. We had I guess I'm familiar with it. I hate to call myself an expert on anything that I know because, you know, there's just so much to learn all the time. But everything that I've learned so far has just been from personal experience, mm-hmm. you know, in our office. And it's become a little bit of a pride project. I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, something that's
passion
like
project.
A passion project. Yeah. Something that's just really close to my heart, because what happened was about 3 or 4 months ago, we received a referral from a title company in the Orlando area, and they said, hey, you know, here's one of our clients. They're going to close in a couple weeks. You know, do your thing, do your magic. And I said, okay, great. So the first thing we asked for was a copy of the passport and, you know, our 10 main questions that we ask all the time. They sent back the passport and it was clearly altered.
Really?
I mean, Photoshopped. The information didn't look right, and even the data on the bottom of the passport. So when you have a passport, all the data that has all your information in the main section of it, a lot of it matches the numbers at the bottom. So when it gets read, it runs through the reader, and that's what the machines read. So if someone's birthday is, you know, in 1970, but the bottom line says 1988, it's, you just know it's not a match,
right,
you know?
Right.
So anyways, we saw right away that it was a fake passport. We'd seen that passport many times, just with a different picture.
Mm.
And we responded instantly within a few minutes of receiving that email. And we said, hey, we're really sorry to tell you this, but this passport does not seem to be authentic. It's a red flag for us. And the closing agent said, thanks so much for your feedback. It looks like the seller's going to use another accounting firm.
Hmm.
I was like, what? did you miss the first part of my sentence where I said the seller's not real? And so it just kind of hit home to me, like, I feel like 99.99% of the people in our community, in our industry, in this profession, I really feel in my heart of hearts that everyone's really trying to do the best that they can. But when you're presented with information of, hey, your seller's not real, it's just shocking to me that the next thing out of your mouth is, we appreciate your appreciate that, but we're just going to use someone else.
Like, smells like collusion.
Well, it just doesn't make sense.
Devil's advocate, maybe this was a very low-level person in the organization who was just in charge of making these phone calls and,
you know, it's
does another business.
100%. So. It could totally be that. Yeah. It could totally be that. And to be honest, my moral compass was like, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
And so I actually did a little digging on my own and got to somebody that I knew could hear me. And I said, hey, listen, you've got a problem. And this is the closing. And please look into this because, yeah, you know, we've reviewed this passport and it's not any good. But what happened is it opened my eyes. Like, even in the most obvious moments, there's still going to be trouble. There's still going to be problems. And so I hung up the phone with her and I just started typing. I like went straight to my computer and I'm like typing. And I do this email blast and I send it to our marketing company and I'm like, read through this and, you know, edit it and get it out. And they sent it out the next day and we sent it to like 4,000 or 5,000 people. And I probably got, I mean, to this date, it's one of our highest click through things because everyone's experiencing these fraudulent things. They just didn't know everybody else was. And so this email that I sent, really just like ripped the Band-Aid right off of it. We got people calling us from, you know, companies we'd never even heard of and cities that we didn't even know were cities. And they were all the same thing. Like, oh my gosh, we just had one of these. We're working with somebody right now. Like, what do we do? What's our next step?
Right.
And so back to my original point of like, that's awesome. Like, we were able to make an impact, but how can we make a bigger impact? Mm-mm. How can we tell everybody?
Yeah. You just want to grab them by the collar. People, listen. Yeah, danger.
I do. Like, some sort of, you know, process, like, you know, in MLS, you're not allowed to take a listing until you upload a copy of their passport or something. I mean, I know we couldn't do that, but there has to be some sort of just process that we can go through where we can try to eliminate some of these fake sellers.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you'll continue to fight the good fight on that front, Julie. So I feel a little bit better knowing that you're working on this. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back after this message.
Hi, I'm Jennifer DeRocher, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
I'm Bill Steinke, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Kim Swanson. You're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Education? You need it? We've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
Southwest Florida is famous for its beautiful beaches and waterways. The Realtor Political Action Committee fights to protect those pieces of paradise. The environment is crucial to your business and the future of Southwest Florida as a whole. Investing as little as $20 in RPAC helps protect our home and promotes clean waterways and clean beaches. Protect our environment by investing in RPAC today. For more information or to invest, contact Kevin Besser, Director of Public Policy, at kevin@rpcra.org.
Welcome back to the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville, along with Jerry Johnson.
That's me.
And our guest, Julie Lepore.
That's Julie, also me.
Yeah, she's right here. She is, I can vouch for it. She is director at FERPTA Solutions in Fort Myers, right?
Cape Coral.
Cape Coral, Southwest Florida, we'll call it. Lee County, Florida. That's where we are.
She's worldwide.
Yeah. So we're talking about real estate scams and fraud. Before the break, we get into the vacant lot fraud scam, and we'll get into some other stuff in just a sec. But Julie, tell me a little bit about your background. Where are you from originally, first of all?
From Flint, Michigan.
Flint? Is that where they had the water problems?
I like to think after I left.
After Michael Moore came into town. And but so you go to school in Michigan?
Yeah. I went to elementary school in Michigan. Moved down to Florida when I was 8 years old.
Oh, okay.
My dad retired from General Motors. He worked at the Buick plant in Flint.
Yeah.
And, you know, I forget sometimes that I'm from Michigan because I just feel like I'm, you know, a Floridian.
No, you're a Michigander.
I am. Yeah. I definitely am. But I've definitely been in Florida way longer than I was in Michigan.
Yeah. Now, how'd you happen to get into the real estate FERPTA business?
Yeah. So, you know, out of high school, I was working for a title company. So I worked for a title company for many years, and then I got into lending, and then started working at a tax office, and they ended up hiring somebody, an agent, a partner, to come in, and she kind of dabbled in FERPTA, and I had never heard of it before. And by that time, I was running like the foreign investor division for the tax office. And so I was familiar with foreigners. I was familiar with the tax returns, but they were just filing tax returns on like the rental properties that they had here. None of them were selling. And so FERPTA didn't really come up until she came to the office, and she was so kind. She taught me everything that she knew, which was helpful, and it was a good starting point, but then I just went crazy.
And FERPTA, if you don't know, stands for?
Foreign Investment and Real Property Tax Act.
Okay. Not the first time you've had to explain that.
Not the first time, no. So I just took to it. It was like a perfect combination of everything I'd ever done. You know, it had a real estate element. It had a numbers element. It had a tax element. It just was interesting to me.
FERPTA had Julie written all over it.
It really did. So I would read all the instructions, and I memorized the rev procs, and I just went crazy absorbing and learning and everything that I could. And then we were doing, you know, one or two FERPTA transaction, like tax work on one or two FERPTA transactions a month. And then it turned into four, and then that turned into eight. And before you knew it, turned into 16. And then we were like, okay, we're either going to stay under, you know, this umbrella with the tax office, or we're going to take this thing on the road and really do something with it. And so we ended up just going door to door and belly to belly sales and meeting as many people as we could and letting them know that there was somebody that was there that could help with the FERPTA transactions, because there really wasn't any good, you know, there really wasn't a lot of resources out there.
And by the way, listeners, we will be doing a separate show on FERPTA that will probably be about a week from today. So watch the Royal Palmcast feed for that. We'll get right into all the details about FERPTA with Julie. But today we're talking again about real estate fraud. Now, Florida, the state, has had a reputation. I'll use the past tense. Yeah, I'll sell you some swampland in Florida was, you know, a gag people used to use. But there's some basis in truth, right? Back in the day, there were some people doing fraudulent things with land sales, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's still, there's a lot of people that bought property back in the day.
Yeah, 40s, 50s, 60s, yeah.
Or they were paying, you know, double, triple, quadruple what it was worth. And now they're finally able to break even and sell. You know, thankfully for them, we're in an upswing, you know, right now. And so people are really getting maximum values for their properties. And so it's prompting a lot of people to sell.
Yeah, Florida real estate is a different animal from what it used to be. A lot of people think, oh, Florida, it's really cheap housing. No, it's more like the rest of the country now, I think, in terms of the home values. It reflects reality. And with COVID and people working remotely, that creates, I think, a whole new market for real estate. Suddenly, they used to have houses built near where the jobs were. Well, now the jobs can be anywhere.
Yeah.
People want to live here, so the job is here suddenly without having to build a factory or an office building. So in any event, that's a tangent I won't continue on. But let's talk a little bit about other kinds of scams or fraud in real estate that you've seen come up, other than the selling a piece of land that doesn't belong to you scam.
I mean, wire fraud's a big one.
Yeah.
You know, wire fraud is where you're either buying a property or you're selling a property and you either need to send money to the closing agent or you're trying to get your proceeds. And so you provide your wire instructions by email. Usually by email is how they get compromised the easiest. And so you're sending your bank details basically to a closing agent by email. And there's technology where that email can be intercepted and the wiring information can be altered. And so here you are selling your property that you've lived in for the last 30 years. You're expecting to get a big, you know, payout for your proceeds and your money doesn't show up.
Do you have a sense that people don't fully understand that email is not secure?
I mean, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to introduce basic standards now for security purposes. You know, everything has to be, you know,
encrypted
and, you know, everything's password protected. And so they've made some really great strides. But what I'm finding, what's so disappointing, again, at a human level, is that the smarter we get, the smarter these criminals get. They just keep evolving. You know, Jim, you and I were talking kind of off the mic. We were talking about even what I'm doing here today is like a double-edged sword, because I feel so obligated and so motivated to inform our community what's going on. But in my efforts to teach you how to be more aware, I'm also teaching the criminal to understand what we're looking for.
Yeah, these are your opportunities. Yeah. This is where people are vulnerable. So yeah. Here you go.
You know, and I hate to keep going back. I know you want to talk about other real estate scams, but I just want to talk 1 second about how these scammers are evolving.
Sure, yeah.
So let me share that
Take
with you
your
real
time,
quick.
Please.
Okay. So, you know, we would get these passports, passport copies from these people that were obviously had been altered, right? But then there's something in the back of your mind that's like, man, well, what if I'm wrong? You know, do I really want to blow this real estate transaction up over, you know, like, you know,
or my inexperience,
exactly,
or unfamiliarity
over,
with
yeah,
this?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's scary.
That's,
you know,
a lot on your shoulders.
It is. It's a lot of liability. It's very scary. I mean, my anxiety levels tripled in the last couple months. But so I was like, okay, you know, let's be sure. So then we would catch them off guard and we would say, you know, now that we've got a picture of your passport, we'd like to contact you on some sort of video call. You know, let me call you on WhatsApp. Let me call you on Skype. Let me call you on Zoom. Well, in the beginning, they would have a million reasons why they couldn't complete that interview.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I dropped my phone in a bucket and I can only text. My camera doesn't work.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm on a cruise ship. I don't have good signal, like whatever the situation is. And so we would shut down, you know, the transaction right then and there. It was obvious that they weren't going to be able to go through on that. Well, now when they provide the passport copies, now they're using pictures of themselves. So it's still a fake passport. The data's still been altered, but instead of a random picture from someone off of Google, now they're using their own picture.
Do they all look like Nigerian princes?
I mean, it's a mixture of people. I mean, the outfit that we've been interacting with most, it seems to be from South Africa.
South Africa.
But on the flip side of that, there's a lot of people from South Africa that own property in Florida, legitimately.
Yeah, sure.
You know, that want to sell, and so it's so hard to navigate through that, you know, because you can't have a, hey, if anyone calls you from South Africa, like, it's a red flag, because that's not fair,
of course.
You know, and that's just not true. But so I had someone send me a passport. with their real picture. So then when I did the video interview, it was really the guy. So here I am staring face to face in the eyes of a criminal. It was the weirdest, surrealist, like out of body.
Yeah.
That's, experience that's that weird. I mean, just looking at him, and I want my, the mom in me wanted to be like, who raised you? Like, yeah. Don't you want to do something better with your life than scam people? Like, you know, but I stayed professional and very stoic. And I said, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for doing this. You know, because at that point, I need to get off the phone and then we have to come up with a plan.
Yeah.
You know, do I let them know right now that we're not going to go forward? Do I talk to the title company? Do I talk to the broker? Do I talk to, you know, my guy at the Secret Service? Like, what's my next step?
Right.
So it's just very real, but they're evolving. Another tale is that they would be from one country. And you know, when you call a certain country, you have to dial a certain country code. And so if they were claiming to be from Germany, but had a South African phone number, or they claimed to be from France and they had a Brazilian phone number, like sometimes that could be a red flag. In and of itself, is it a red flag? No, you can have a phone number from anywhere. But if you have enough red flags in a deal, you know, and that's just one of them. So now they are getting burner phones from those countries so that when they call, they're calling from the right country code.
Mm.
It's like, dang it. You know, they just keep getting smarter and smarter.
Yeah.
I got a passport the other day where I had to take a double look at it. I was like, man, that's a good one. I mean, he messed up in a couple places, and I'm not even going to say it today. I'm not even going to tell you where he messed up because I'm saving some
Please.
Of those,
yeah.
that insight, you know, just so it doesn't get out there, because there are still some things that they're doing very amateur that, you know, that are tells. And so, but it was good. It was a really good passport. There was one passport one time that was so good. It was an actual hard passport. So he had ordered the passport online from, I mean, you can get fake ID cards online.
Really?
100% so easy. They're like $50. So he orders this passport with this information. And when it comes to him, obviously who they're buying it from, they've got way better technology than the criminals do. So when it comes to them, it's like laser printed. It's got all the security features. I thought for sure it was a real passport. Thankfully, when he set up a file with us, he used a phone number to another that someone else had used in a case where it had been flagged for fraud. And so we had to take a double look at that passport again. Now, it was from a country. This one specifically was from Sweden, I think. I'm not sure. But one of the countries, they have a website where you can go online and you can enter the details of the passport and it'll kick back a valid or not valid determination. And so his came back not valid. But still, it was still such a good forgery. And I still didn't trust myself, and I still didn't want to be the one to shut this deal down because it was like a $750,000 sale. And so I called the police department in that country, and I said, listen, I just used your website. You know, it came back not valid. I said, but it's such a good copy. Like, I just don't trust myself. Can we look at this together? And they were like, sure. So I gave them the details over the phone. She was like, yeah, that's a real person, but that's not his passport. And I was like, is there anything you can do? And she was like, nope, there's nothing we can do because the crime is happening in America. We can't do anything about crime happening in America. Which brings up another really good question is, who's looking at this stuff? When we had our first case in February, I reached out to the FBI. I called the FBI. I called their local office, their major office. I went online. I went to the CIA. I like every website I could think of. I went on and I posted, you know, please call me back. We've got access to this information, and they were starting to come in a lot. So I'm like, oh my gosh, we have so many of them. Like, certainly someone needs to know about this. Never one time did anybody ever respond.
Wow.
It was the weirdest thing. And I'm like, doesn't anybody care? Doesn't anybody care that this is happening?
Frustrating.
And it was really frustrating. And I just kept digging and digging and digging. And I reached out to the sheriff's department and the police department, and finally got a hold of someone in the police department that said, well, you know, we have someone in our financial crimes unit. So I reached out to them and they said, well, you know, really who you need to talk to is the Secret Service. And I was like, oh, the Secret Service? Like, don't they just take care of the president or something? Like, I didn't know.
Treasury, yeah. Right?
I didn't even draw the conclusion. Yeah. You know, here I am thinking of all the government bodies, and I never even occurred to me to reach out to the Secret Service.
Yeah.
So I ended up calling somebody, the Fort Myers location, and there's an agent there who has been tasked with this unpleasant task of trying to gather as much information as he can about these sales. So he and I have been working together to pass information along.
Mm.
And he's just been a real great source of information. And we just kind of play off each other and try to look at things and help each other out with, you know, our presentations we're just so committed to, yeah, you know, getting out there and making sure that more people know about this.
So you're living in this cloak and dagger world inhabited by bad guys and secret agents. And
I know.
Espionage.
I smell a movie.
And I watched way too much television because I said to my husband, I was like, I'm getting kind of nervous. You know what I mean? Like, if I keep shutting these deals down, like, what if I get on someone's radar and they're just like, she's a pain in the butt, let's get rid of her.
Yeah,
you know,
that's not gonna happen.
I know.
Is
but
it?
You know, when you watch as much Criminal Minds as I do,
yeah,
Jim,
you develop one. Wow. Well, geez, thank you for enlightening us. Now, if you're a realtor listening to this, what's the number one thing you ought to do to protect yourself and your clients?
You know, as a real estate agent, your time is your money. You know what I mean? And when you're spinning your wheels, trying to set up deals and send out listing agreements and doing, you know, CMAs on properties that don't belong to that person, you're just wasting your time. So my recommendation is, you know, if you're a real estate agent and someone reaches out to you to take a listing, first of all, they all say the same thing. I need a quick sale. I want a cash seller. I want to do this in 3 weeks. You know, what's the most I can get? And then they want you to list it for less than market value because they want to sell it so quickly, right? So I just say, you know, listen, like, that's your client. When you're talking to them, just say, you know, listen, I'm happy to work with you. I would love to work with you, but, you know, I'm going to need you to send me, you know, some sort of proof of ID,
yeah,
or something that would prove that you're the owner of that property. If you don't feel comfortable asking for someone's passport, whatever.
Right.
But if you own a property, then you have documents. You have something in your possession other than what's available online.
Right.
You have a credit card receipt from when you paid, you know, the property taxes. You've got some sort of utility expansion bill. You've got a marketing flyer from another real estate agent trying to list your property. You know, you've got something in your possession that says, hey, this is my property.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so just ask for some proof that they're the real owner.
Mm.
You know,
yeah, makes
either
sense.
Yeah,
makes sense, yeah,
either some form of ID or some sort of, you know, document that they wouldn't be able to produce otherwise.
Yeah, let's hope others listening to this have can develop some sort of spidey sense that you have and see those red flags when they come up.
Absolutely.
Or work with a competent professional such as yourself who is adept at identifying them. So, Julie, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us and this important topic today. I'm feeling a little upset by the fact that people are losing their life savings in some cases.
It's sad. It really is sad. You know, do I have a second to share one more tip with you?
Sure.
Okay. So Lee County, Charlotte County, Collier County, many of the counties in South Florida have a service that they provide. As a homeowner, you can register your address with them. That way, if a deed gets recorded or anything gets recorded against the property, you're made aware. Now, it's not going to stop the sale from going through, but it's going to notify you as soon as it happens so you can take action away. It's just one more layer that you can add to, you know, protect yourself and your investment.
And I've heard companies advertise on TV for title fraud insurance. Is this effective?
You know, I really don't know much about it. I would really like to, I'd like to look into that and see because... if it does work, I mean, I bet it would be viable, especially in our area.
Sure. Okay. Julie, thanks again.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And we're going to talk about FERPTA in another show. So if you're listening, you'll want to pay attention to that when it comes out. And I want to thank everybody here at the association, including our board op and producer, Jerry Johnson.
Hey, thanks. That's me.
It's great to be working with you again, Jerry.
Ditto, Jim.
And if you have a question for us at the show, you have a suggestion for a topic or a guest, we'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. We'd be pleased to hear from you. I want to thank you again for listening, everybody. We really would not do the show without you. If you weren't there, we wouldn't be here. So thank you very much for finding us. And we will look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.